Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things as surely as the work of his hands reward him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid.
Pastor Wood, I didn't think we were ever supposed to say stupid.
Well, In verse 1, the idea here is not to insult someone. When it refers to certain kinds of people as stupid, it's talking about their behavior. It's not saying this person lacks the capacity for learning in terms of the gray matter God put between their ears. It's saying it is a foolish thing to hate correction. Because if you won't receive correction, you're not going to get things right. Think about what the word correction means. Correction means you're not correct. You need to be corrected. That is what correction involves. So if correction comes and you're saying, no, I'd rather be wrong than take your input, that's stupid. That's foolish. That is the path to destruction. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. In other words, it's not because it feels good. The letter to the Hebrews says, all discipline is painful, not pleasant. But later on, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who are trained by it. So people who love discipline don't love it because it feels good. They love it because they love knowledge. They want to learn. If this is what it takes to get it right, I want that. So whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates correction, who would choose the wrong over the right, who doesn't want to know the truth, he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. We said this before in another chapter. In these passages, you're not just dealing with life principles, you're dealing with the living God. It is very foolish to think that you're going to sneak around when there is a God who sees everything. And he's not just standing there with his arms folded and saying, gee, I wish I could intervene. He will intervene. The Lord will condemn that person. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. God will make sure that the people who are bent on defying him end in destruction, but that those who are determined to do God's will end up secure. God will make sure that that's the way it works out. God says so. So somebody who thinks, if I just do this and I do this, nobody has to know. God knows. And God will make sure that the righteous continue on and that through wickedness, you get wiped out. Look at verse 7. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. All of us are going to have to answer to God. And if you think that this person who's engaged in wickedness seems to have a good plan, you need to remember a man cannot be established through wickedness. It's only temporary. Whatever strength they have, whatever power, whatever influence, it's temporary. Whatever wealth, it's temporary. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. That's God's word. Verse 4, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Solomon speaking to his son, and he's saying the thing you really want to look for in a wife, above all else, is noble character. Let me tell you something. Character is what makes the difference. You want to live with somebody who has good character. because you can trust that person. And trust is essential to a good marriage.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown.
The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Look at verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. But what did we say last time? Be careful who your advisors are. Because verse 5 says, the advice of the wicked is deceitful. If you are taking advice from people who do not agree with God, you're getting bad advice. Be careful what kind of people are providing the input that you listen to. I don't care how many degrees a person has after their name, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. You're not going to learn a lot of good stuff about anything from people who deny the most obvious essentials of truth about this universe. Well, I think somebody could still be intelligent and be an atheist. Oh, sure. There are intelligent atheists, and they're all fools. Okay? They might know a lot about a little, but they know nothing about what's most important. So that's not the place to go for advice.
Well, do you ever read the works of people who don't agree with you? Oh, all the time. Would you read a book like by Richard Dawkins?
I have. But I want you to understand something. Listening and seeing what various fools are saying is not the same as taking their advice. I'm not asking you to be ignorant and only read Christian authors. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't take advice. Don't be the disciple of somebody who is headed in the wrong direction. Because that will not help you, and it will not help others. So, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wicked men are overthrown, we said. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. It is possible to have a warped mind, to have a twisted mind where you just see everything as it isn't. Verse 9. It is better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. Early in my ministry, I tended to just believe people and take people at their word and assume that what they said was what they meant. And turns out that was naive. But one of the things I discovered is that there were some people who lived very modestly and had enormous resources. And there were other people who lived very lavishly, and then they lost it all because they were spending money that wasn't theirs. Verse 9 says, it's better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. What's the big difference there? Well, one guy's got a servant, the other guy's got no food. No, the difference is this: to be rather than to seem. To be rather than to pretend. If you're pretending, you're not being honest. If you're pretending, you're lying. So the question is, which is better? To pretend to something great or to be what you are? To be honest, to be humble. Better to be a nobody than pretend to be somebody. Verse 10. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. This is a study in contrast. It's saying the wicked man is cruel. People who are going against God are ultimately cruel. But the righteous man is even kind to his animals. He cares for his beasts, it says in the King James. Now, I am not a tree hugger, and I am not somebody who thinks it's wrong to eat meat, okay? But I'll tell you this. Kosher law, as far as how the Jews slaughtered the animals, they had to cut through the neck in a single blow if accidentally they left a little piece of tissue over here. That had to go to the Gentiles. Okay? Why? Because they wanted to make sure that the animals didn't suffer needlessly. And so their means of slaughter of the animals was as humane as they knew how to make it. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal. Don't be cruel. If you're going to be a hunter, use a weapon that can bring the beast down with the first shot. And be a good shot and practice before you go out in the woods and wound something. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Verse 11, he who works his land will have abundant food. Look at verse 14, from the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. He's not saying everybody everywhere has to get a job doing manual labor. He's saying everybody needs to work. Everybody needs to work. Everybody needs to work. Whether you're working your land or whether you're profiting from your ability to teach or do sales, as long as you're honest, there is reward for good work. So he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. I've known people who were always just a short time away from getting rich. You know, they had this new thing, and it's going to be great. It's going to be big. It's going to be super. Be careful. He who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Look at verse 16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. One of the most intelligent people I've ever met on this planet is my oldest brother, Bill. He was a professor at Harvard, but don't hold that against him. I mean, brilliant guy, a true scholar, a success in several fields of endeavor. And I have seen him in the presence of people who have maybe one-third the IQ that he does. And those people say outlandish things, and my brother's response is to say, well, that's an interesting way of looking at it. And I think, you know, he could eviscerate them. But instead, he holds his tongue. He overlooks an insult. He's gracious to people who are not gracious. A truthful witness, this next section, also about speech. A truthful witness gives an honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever. A lying tongue lasts only a moment. There's deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. All that about how you speak, whether or not you tell the truth. But verse 22 is the key. Look at it. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Based on that verse alone, would you say it is foolish to lie? The Lord detests lying lips. I don't really want anything in my life that the Lord detests. I mean, it's just not a good idea. But look at the next phrase. He delights in men who are truthful. God doesn't just tolerate men who are truthful. God loves it when you tell the truth. He delights in it. You want to make God happy with you? Tell the truth. But the truth is very embarrassing. It's a whole lot better to tell the truth and be embarrassed than to lie. Don't lie. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Verse 24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. What did we say diligent means? Hard work with an eye toward detail. If you are instead a lazy person, you will end up still having to work super hard. The difference is you won't get the reward for all your hard work. A slave is somebody who really has to work, but they don't get the payoff. Somebody else is profiting from their labor. Is that what you want? No, I want the reward for it. Well, then be diligent. If you'll be diligent, you end up in charge. Diligent hands will rule. But laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. You have the power, if you will agree with God and start saying what God says, you can change lives. You can change lives. God's truth will change lives. His word is truth. The lazy man doesn't roast his game. What does that mean? It means let's just eat it like it is. Okay? That's the picture here. Somebody who finally kills something and he wants to eat it and he doesn't take time to roast it. Because I'm just too hungry. That's lazy. The inability to say no to yourself, I'm going to wait. That's lazy. But the diligent man, verse 27, prizes his possessions. Does that mean he's a materialist? Does that mean he's a greedy person, an idolater? No, it means when God gives you stuff, you appreciate it and you take care of it. That's what's being described here. That's what the righteous man does. The diligent man prizes his possessions. Prize your possessions. Appreciate what you have. Don't always be thinking, I've got to have that, I've got to have that. Take care of what you have. Rejoice in the Lord's kindness in giving you the things you have. In the way of righteousness, there's life. Along that path is immortality. Here's the deal. We need to be living now with an eye toward immortality, realizing that the decisions we make today are going to have an impact through eternity if we behave wisely. Please understand, along that path is a goal. And that goal involves pleasing God and serving Him forever. That's what I want my life to be. And I want to be with Him forever. I can't earn that by good conduct. But having received the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, I want my life to be a delight to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.